The rest of the story. You are a mid-19th century civil engineer, and you're standing on the state side of the Niagara River, about a mile below the Great Falls. The tiny hamlet of Bellevue is as yet so insignificant in the larger scheme of things that it has not yet been officially incorporated as a village. The little community is even further from the day that it would be known throughout the country as Niagara Falls, New York. So, you're a civil engineer. It's 1840. You've been commissioned by a group of prominent Americans and Canadians to build a bridge across the Niagara River. Such a bridge will bring increased prosperity, you are told, and you understand that. Only now you're gazing across the gaping river gorge, the precipitous cliffs nearly 800 feet apart at the nearest point, the rapids below. You know that this must be a suspension bridge, but how in the world will that first cable be drawn from one cliff to the other? The subsequent cables, that would pose no problem, but how do you get that first heavy cable across 1,000 feet of nothing? Well, to the Association of Planners, men from both sides of the river, the commercial and cultural value of this physical link between nations was indisputable. The charter was granted in 1846. That's when engineer Charles Ouellette came into the picture. "Design us a bridge," the planners told him. And Charles Ouellette designed them a bridge, a suspension bridge borne by iron cables between two wooden towers. The design was approved. Mr. Ouellette began construction in the fall of 1847. He built the two towers without difficulty. And though the precise moment was not recorded, what was recorded leads us to believe that Ouellette was well into the project before it occurred to him how in the world was he going to draw the first cable between those towers. Several procedures were suggested. All of them were found impractical. Finally, it was Ouellette himself who conceived the idea that one would work. And for that task, he hired the services of a native New Yorker named Holman Walsh. The first day, Walsh's attempt failed completely. The second day, a slip-up occurred in the final stages of the tricky operation, and the heavy cable fell into the Niagara River. It would take one more try, and that attempt was a success in every way. The solitary 1,160-foot cable was drawn between the towers. Now the workmen riding a specially designed cable car could finish the job, which they did in 1848. And the bridge was a commercial triumph. Wide enough and strong enough to accommodate horse and buggy traffic, it drew two neighbor nations closer together. And when in only a few years commerce increased to the necessity of a larger bridge, the smaller bridge, the bridge designed by engineer Charles Ouellette, provided a platform for the workmen. So that first iron cable to span the Niagara River Gorge, the one that almost didn't make it, in a way still binds Ontario, Canada, and New York State, USA. For once upon a time, a small boy named Holman Walsh, was paid $5 to fly his kite across the river. And the kite string was tied to a cord, and the cord was tied to a rope, and the rope to the first strand of cable wire. And to the cable wire, enough more to make an impossible dream come true. And now you know the rest of the story.